We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Not as good as you on vacation, but I'm doing pretty good today. How are you two doing?
It feels like a vacation day in Cincinnati. I don't know. It's 60 degrees out and things are going well.
I feel like we're making up for last year with all the sports news over the last 2 weeks happening in Cincinnati sports. And even though it's technically the off season for the Cincinnati Bengals, we have the draft in less than 2 weeks, OTAs, all the fun stuff and news is coming out right now, including the win totals. It was out today by William Hill US. And of course, this can all change because we're currently sitting in April and this is prior to the draft. And I feel like they'll have a little bit of edge when you get into September and to be determined if Joe Burrow is good to go for week one. But right now they have the Cincinnati Bengals at 6.5 wins, 17 games in 2021. Are you guys taking the over or the under?
So I think they're in the right ballpark. You know, this is going to be my third season covering the team. And my first season, I picked the Bengals to win 6 wins. Last year, I picked the Bengals to win 6 wins, and they have 6 combined wins over the last 2 years. Now, when I look at the home and away schedule, the opponents are out yet, but not the dates and the weeks. I have the Bengals losing to the Ravens, obviously. I have them losing to the Cleveland Browns and the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Jaguars, they beat the Jaguars last year. I have them beating Jacksonville. Kansas City Chiefs, I think we're going to be unanimous on that. That's an L. Los Angeles Chargers, they lost to them last year without Justin Herbert playing. I have the Bengals losing to them too. The Vikings, I have them getting a win against Minnesota. Pittsburgh Steelers, I went back and forth. Obviously, they play home and away being in division. I have them actually beating Pittsburgh at home again this year for the second consecutive season. And then they play the San Francisco 49ers, which was recently added to the schedule when they added another game. I have them losing to San Francisco. Now, their away schedule, I have the Ravens sweeping the Bengals again. Chicago Bears is going to be interesting. Andy Dalton's playing his former team. That game's going to be interesting for multiple reasons. However, I do have the Bengals winning that game. Cleveland Browns, I actually have the Bengals losing the season series against Cleveland. The Denver Broncos, that game could be interesting. I do have the Bengals winning another road game and beating the Denver Broncos this coming season. Detroit, that game could be interesting too, but I think the Bengals can actually beat the Detroit Lions. So I have them winning another road game. That's 3 road games I have the Bengals winning, which is really surprising because they haven't won 3 road games since I've been here. The Las Vegas Raiders, I feel like the Raiders are going to win that game, so I have the Bengals losing. The New York Jets, the Bengals beat the Jets last year. I think that will happen again. Pittsburgh Steelers, I have Pittsburgh sweeping. Well, no, sorry. I have Pittsburgh winning at home and the Bengals. I have the Pittsburgh winning at home and then the Bengals winning at home. So them splitting the season series. So that is 7 wins by my calculation. So I think they're at the right ballpark.
When I look at this, I try not to look too much into the schedule yet because on one hand, the Bengals aren't a finished product. And two, I just believe that so much of a specific game can come down to luck that I try to predict it over the course of a whole season. And what the Bengals remind me of is a team like the 2019 Reds that has a lot of the Reds had a lot of bats, had a lot of offensive weapons, but wasn't well-rounded enough yet to compete for the playoffs. My prediction for the Bengals right now, and of course the calculus is off. I think I'll be getting this right. This will be my first time with the 17-game schedule. But my prediction is 7-10, and Zach Taylor stays. I think that's just important of a conversation as well when you discuss the Bengals record, because there could be even two types of 7-10 season. Is it a season where the Bengals kind of scrap their way to 7 wins, but the offense doesn't take the progressions that, frankly, they need to in the third year, the coaching staff, and the second year with Joe Burrow? I think it's going to be the other kind of 7-win season where you do see significant strides, but just because of some of the overall flaws in the defense and still with the offensive line, the Bengals aren't able to close enough games out. I think, though, that the offensive strides will outweigh those other things I mentioned. And even though it might be a year later from what you would want to, the Bengals will then be going into 2022 as a team that people think can take the really important step forward to playoff contention.
Yeah, and I don't think right now, I mean, you look at the 2021 season, the schedule isn't even out yet to be determined on the health of Joe Burrow. He is on pace. I still feel like he'll get a full season in there, but that's the biggest factor for me going into the season. How many games do you get from Joe Burrow? Do you get all 17? And I think they're right in that ballpark at 6.5, because last year I thought about 6 or 7 wins if he was playing, and they were semi-close to that without him for the second half of the season. So I think it's just a little above that, just a little over, because I'm at 7, maybe 7.5 at this moment, but all of that could change as we get closer to September. Speaking of five right now, the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away, and you know what? Everybody still want to talk about it. Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver, Penei Sewell, the offensive line. Has your guys' mind changed? Are you still going with your pick?
So I say this every week, that I think the Bengals are going to draft Ja'Marr Chase based on what I'm hearing and smoke signals coming out of the organization. However, if I were the GM, I would – draft Penei Sewell out of Oregon and not look back. I'm hearing that he's training at left tackle and right tackle this offseason in preparation for the NFL. And I've said many times before that addressing the offensive line and upgrading the offensive line should be the Bengals' biggest priority. Not only does that help Joe Burrow, but that also helps Joe Mixon in the running game. And you can make a legit argument that Joe Mixon is the best player in offense. So I firmly believe that the Bengals should draft Penei Sewell, but they've been known not to listen to me. And I think that they're going to draft the LSU wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase. And I can't knock them for that. He's arguably the best receiver in the draft. He has already established chemistry with Joe Burrow during their national championship run. He was Joe Burrow's favorite target. So it makes a lot of sense to bring him into Cincinnati, fill that hole that was vacated by A.J. Green. So you have A.J., you have Ja'Marr Chase on the outside, you have Tyler Boyd in the slot, and you have T. Higgins on the other opposite side. So that does make for a dynamic and explosive receiving corps, but I would still focus on the offensive line and stabilize the left tackle and right tackle position. If the Bengals had Penei Sewell and Jonah Williams at their two tackle spots, that would stabilize that both of those positions for multiple seasons to come, and also helping the running game with two pretty good tackles on the outside. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're targeting Ja'Marr Chase, and we'll see how it works out.
So I've said since January that, from my perspective, Penei Sewell has been and will be the best available player on the board at five. But as is any case or debate with the NFL draft, not everyone agrees. And I do want to give the Bengals credit, even though it sounds like, from what Tyler's saying and from what I agree with, that the Bengals have created a plan to take Ja'Marr Chase at five, I do give them credit for executing a long-term plan over the offseason. Obviously, they went out and signed Riley Reiff, and then they didn't make any moves at wide receiver. Those dominoes lead you to believe that they headed into the offseason saying, we're going to address the offensive line in free agency and address wide receiver in the draft. And you know what? That probably shows that they believed that Ja'Marr Chase is the best overall talent they could acquire this offseason. And even though it's not the move I would have made personally, it is a plan that they are now executing. And It still will make the Bengals better in 2021, especially because they've signed Riley Reiff to address the offensive line and can do more on day two. It doesn't mean they get the best player available, or almost more importantly, the best offensive lineman in the draft. You're going to get a much better player in round one than you could get in round two or three, but it's still an overall improvement and execution of a vision. How successful the vision is to be determined, but they executed one.
I think when you look at Penei Sewell right now and what he's doing just to get ready for the draft, he's practicing left and right tackle. I talked to Duke Mannyweather, someone who works with offensive linemen, NFL, college free agents, guys getting ready for their NFL career. And he tells me, he says it's really hard to make that change when it comes to positions on the offensive line. But Penei Sewell is thinking ahead of what and where he could land. And look, it's not out of question that the Bengals won't take him, but I think all signs are still pointing to Ja'Marr Chase. And I still know they need to protect Joe Burrow, and I think they're going to be able to do that in the second or maybe even third round to add more depth to the offensive line. But I still think it's wide receiver. You need playmakers. And Charlie brought up a good point a couple weeks ago on the podcast. He says, what have the Cincinnati Bengals done really to add to Joe Burrow's weapon? I mean, you look at the weapon room, you look at the offensive line, and it's really only been Riley Reiff, and they moved on from Bobby Hart. When you add a weapon like Ja'Marr Chase, and then obviously they add his former tight end Moss, that's going to, you know, add to the tight end room with CJ Uzomah coming back. But the Bengals need a playmaker. And I'm not even saying, we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast, a number one, number two receiver. I think Ja'Marr Chase just changes the offense. And obviously they will have to draft an offensive lineman in the second or third round too.
So if the Bengals draft Ja'Marr Chase, let me ask you two both this question. How many catches do you think he gets in his rookie season?
I don't think it matters. I think that we want to play this number game of who can get the ball and spreading the ball around. I think they're going to find a way to involve him. And it's really not about, I mean, I know you're asking me because you're going to make me answer this. But at the same time, I think we play that game of who's going to get the ball, or how many times you got Tyler Boyd on the team. All you got T. Higgins. Having too many weapons isn't a bad thing for this offense. I don't think the numbers game matters, but I think he'll be right up there with Tyler Boyd and T. I think it's going to be just, you have three different weapons to choose from, not counting CJ Uzomah, Joe Mixon catching some passes too. I hate that game because we sit here and we make it seem like when he comes in, what do you do with the T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd balls?
I couldn't agree with Lindsay more on that point, even though I think Sewell is still the better player. Just look at these numbers. Giovanni Bernard caught 47 passes last year. AJ Green caught 47 passes last year. Alex Erickson caught 12. And then there are some other, a few more players who caught five or fewer on the roster as well. The Bengals have more than enough targets to replace here. And it's not that drafting Ja'Marr Chase makes T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd any worse. It makes them better overall and better suited and helps the offense undisputably. Now, I don't think it would help the offense as much as an offensive lineman, but I do believe you can't have too many playmakers.
So I asked that question not for the numbers. I was trying to get y'all to answer because I wanted to prove a point that offensive line is the bigger need than upgrading the wide receiver spot. Because if you have T. Higgins, you have Tyler Boyd, those are two players that can be option one and option two in the wide receiver room. So, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is good enough to be option one maybe, and to move some of those players down. But the offensive line is the reason why the Bengals offense was not that good last year and the year before. So I just believe that the offensive line, if you stabilize the offensive line and get a lot better, that will improve your offense more than adding a third wide receiver weapon.
And that's why I would have been more aggressive signing a wide receiver in free agency. The Bengals had an opportunity to get someone who could get, say, 40 catches and be very productive, but it doesn't seem like that's the path the Bengals chose. And again, you know, we're on the same page, Tyler. We would have been more aggressive in addressing the offensive line. But it is still a very reasonable argument to make, which it sounds like what the Bengals are doing. I'm not going to rip the Ja'Marr Chase pick because it still does unlock a lot for the offense. And I don't think receptions will be the biggest way to analyze how good of a pick Ja'Marr Chase is going to be. I think he's just going to do so much that it will help in a way that receptions don't necessarily show. Honestly, almost kind of like AJ Green did last season. That's a weird comparison to make, but AJ Green helped the offense because of the assignments he drew, because of the attention he drew. Ja'Marr Chase can have a similar effect. Obviously, he's much better in the deep ball. He's better in space at this stage of his career. And again, I'm not going to rip the pick because it's still does make the Bengals better and signify a plan.
Yeah, either pick would make the Bengals better. I just think that short-term and long-term, Penei Sewell would make the Bengals better. And that's not ripping Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's going to be an excellent NFL player, and I'm not knocking him at all. I just think for the Bengals, if I were the team's GM, I would draft the offensive lineman because I think that is – I can't say it enough. That's the biggest hole, and it helps two areas, not just one. It's not the sexy pick. It's not the pick that makes all the highlights and scores the touchdowns. But if I were a GM, that's what I would do.
And I sound like a
stand by that.
I sound like a broken record because I wouldn't feel this way if I didn't feel like the depth is still there in the second or third round. Look, if they get an offensive lineman who starts day one guard opposite of Quentin Spain, you get Quentin Spain at left guard, you put your future tackle in at guard. Look, that could be a possibility going into 2021 with Riley Reiff and Jonah Williams out there, or they'll just move the guys around a little musical chairs when it comes to positions. I can still look at the past two off seasons and say, I don't agree with how the Cincinnati Bengals handled the offensive line. They knew back in January of 2020 that they were going to draft Joe Burrow. Everybody knew that. Nobody's breaking any news there, and they didn't handle it. They went heavy on the defensive side. And look, when you're not a great team, you have a lot of holes. So you do have to fix your defensive side too. And they still need to add more depth to the defensive line. But I still feel like the depth in this class you can get in the second or third round when it comes to the offensive line. And I still feel like with that number five pick, say they do surprise everyone and they go Sewell at five and, you know, miss on Ja'Marr Chase, or anything's a possibility ahead of them if, you know, Atlanta doesn't go with a quarterback at number four. I just feel like in this draft class, when it comes to positions and getting better overall on the offensive side, you get your playmaker at wide receiver now and you get your offensive lineman later. But it's a win-win for this team sitting at five.
The Bengals, if they draft Ja'Marr Chase, won't take, again, the best player available, I think. But I don't think that decision is based off the sexiness of the pick. I think that, like, part of the reason you take Ja'Marr Chase, and a huge part of the argument I think that people ignore is, I think people overrate the LSU connection in particular. I think Ja'Marr Chase is clearly the best receiver in the draft and does what he does best is exactly what the Bengals need. It is a very good fit, and it's possible that the Bengals designed their offseason around that fit. But it's not just they went out and got a wide receiver or any wide receiver. Like, I think they deserve credit. The first pick Zach Taylor made was an offensive lineman in Jonah Williams. They just identified this type of player as the player that fits them best, if that's the move they end up making. If they end up with Sewell, I think that helps the Bengals more overall. But again, they're kind of tipping their hand a little here.
They definitely did tip their hand this offseason. I will say that. So, I mean, we'll see. I firmly believe that you're playing a dangerous game when you don't address the offensive line, when your two best players on offense are your quarterback and your running back. But I'm not the GM. The Bengals are known not to listen to me. Just look at the three keys. If they would have followed the three keys each week, they would have more than six wins in 2 years. But, hey.
Now in the Bengals defense, maybe they're trying to follow the three keys.
No, they don't. I watch the product on the field. They don't follow the three keys at all.
I don't know, Tyler, because you're changing your pick now. You're leaning more towards Ja'Marr Chase, so maybe they are starting
to listen. Wait, hold on. Timeout. No, I'm not changing my pick.
My pick is still Penei Sewell. I think the Bengals, they are leaning towards Ja'Marr Chase. That's not changing my pick. My pick for them has remained the same. But when I do my mock drafts, I can't sit, they're not Tyler's picks. They're who I think the Bengals are going to pick. So I'm not changing my pick.
It's funny, the move that convinced me the most that they're going to take Ja'Marr Chase more than anything else, even more than signing Riley Reiff, was getting rid of Giovanni Bernard, who his big contribution is what he does in the pass game. And getting rid of Giovanni Bernard undisputably makes the Bengals significantly worse in the pass game because of what Giovanni Bernard does as a pass threat, but especially because of what he does as a pass protector. And I just don't see a way where the Bengals let that happen and then don't address pass catcher in a significant way after.
I think as we just get closer to the next 2 weeks and what's really going to happen, because we're all, it's the team Chase, team Sewell, what's going to happen? You see it on social media. What are the Cincinnati Bengals going to do? Even national media is like, it's hard to decide what the Bengals should or will do at number five. They're going to trade back. They're going to trade back and they're not going to take any of those players. And it's just going to be drama on day one.
Hey, that could happen. No, I'm just dry. I don't want to start those rumors. I'm not going to say I don't see that happening. The Bengals, they might be in a very advantageous position where the first four teams pick ahead of them could pick quarterbacks. Now, I don't foresee that happening. I do think the Atlanta Falcons are going to take Florida tight end Kyle Pitts, but there is some talk that Atlanta could trade back as well. And so it's going to be interesting. In a couple weeks, we're going to see a lot. We're going to find out a lot too. So we shall see. But the Bengals, they're in good position at number five pick. I don't see them trading back. I see them taking the best player who they think is available, and I forecast that to be Ja'Marr Chase. Do I agree with it? Y'all know that answer.
Now, I would give the Bengals – credit, again, because I'm all in on the Bengals improving their offensive line. If they went back to, say, 9 and added a second-round pick and were able to snag Rashawn Slater, who I think is a very good tackle, and then be able to use an extra second-round pick to get, then I guess, an edge rusher and a wide receiver, think, Basham or Diami Brown, a wide receiver, get both of those guys in the second round, that's a very good haul. And just the more I've thought about the draft overall and the possibility of getting, like, 3 high-impact players like that, I don't see as big a gap between Sewell and Slater to not, believe that that would be a good sequence of events to happen. So if the Bengals shock us on draft night and end up with Rashawn Slater and an extra second round pick, I am warming up to that idea.
I think we're all going to agree when you look at the next 2 rounds and say they go Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver, because all signs are pointing they're going to go wide receiver at 5. Anything could happen in 2 weeks on draft night. If you are the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2nd and 3rd round, what are your next 2 needs? Besides, I don't even want to say offensive line. Let's take offensive line out of the picture, because we know the need to add to the offensive line. You're looking mid-round in the NFL draft for the Cincinnati Bengals. What other positions do you feel like should be on their board right now?
So other positions of need other than offensive line. I would go defensive line. Now, this is saying that the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase, so they addressed the wide receiver position, and no offensive lineman. I can't say that, so I will say defensive line and linebacker. I still think the Bengals need to upgrade their pass rush. They had the fewest amount of sacks in the league last year. Yes, Trey Hendrickson, he does bring that aspect, but they still need more of a pass rush and just can't rely solely on him and Sam Hubbard. So defensive line, the interior and edge rushers, and also linebacker. The Bengals lost, well, Josh Bynes is still a free agent, and he was their best linebacker last year. Now, Logan Wilson, they're very high on him. They believe that he's going to have a good sophomore season and take the reins as starter with him and Jermaine Pratt in the middle, but I still think the Bengals need to address their linebacker unit and add another player to the mix especially inside at linebacker. So those are my two, other than offensive line.
So I think edge rusher is the obvious place to start. The only other guy really they have right now is Khalid Kareem, who, you know, we still don't know about yet, but I do put a little into the fact that he really wasn't given much of an opportunity last year. Maybe he takes a huge step forward in year two, but that's a place on the roster that could benefit from some more competition and some more upside. I'm going to cheat with my second and third answers. And I'm going to say doubling up on wide receiver and offensive line would be an even bigger priority for me than getting, say, a three technique defensive tackle. Obviously, they're plenty loaded, not loaded, but plenty full in the secondary room and have enough proven contributors at linebacker. I'm cheating here, but I think that taking two offensive linemen and two wide receivers would be the way to most help the Bengals overall, because again, they've done so little to address the offense this offseason. Even if you do draft Jamar Chase, then your core is Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Tate, Thomas, Morgan. Well, last year, give the Bengals credit, they went into the season with, you know, they had higher expectations for John Ross heading into last season. He was a solid number four heading into the year, and T. Higgins was their number five guy. John Ross, again, was someone who they expected to do more. He started early in the year, and of course, that didn't pan out, but they still had more, I guess, a lottery ticket, if you want to call it there. This year, who the Bengals would have with four and five would be Auden Tate and then either Stanley Morgan or Mike Thomas. And I think you need to get through a season more upside at that spot. So whether it's adding a second wide receiver in the fourth round or the fifth round, adding a second offensive lineman in the third or the fourth or the fifth, I think, and then kicker as well is the other place. I think those are the most important areas the Bengals need to address.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the edge position right now, and I would double down on the defensive line because you can't have enough depth and starters out there. And Tyler, I see where you're coming from in the linebacker room. I don't see them going linebacker on day two, maybe late in day three. But I think when you look at the defensive side, obviously they've gone really heavy in free agency back-to-back years. You just can't have enough depth and starters. I mean, you look late to last season. They had guys off the bench, and everybody knows what happened. Geno Atkins battling an injury. The Carlos Dunlap drama. So I think they go heavy there, but I also don't know if I see them reaching in the second round for their edge guy unless he's on the board. I'm taking offensive linemen off the table because we obviously know they are going to draft someone in the offensive line if they go Jamar Chase with the fifth pick. But it's just going to be on the defensive side. Maybe similar to last year's blueprint of what we saw later in the draft. Another wide receiver wouldn't hurt because honestly, when you put it on paper, you got Jamar Chase. If they get Jamar Chase, you get T. Higgins, you get Tyler Boyd, Mike Thomas. I feel like he's more of an insurance guy. Auden Tate, he has to find a way to stay healthy this season. One of those three starters and Chase, Higgins, Boyd goes down, it doesn't hurt to get another wide receiver later in the draft too. So when it comes to playmakers, I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I see this team either going, and I'm bringing it up, even though I said, take it off the table. You go offensive line in the second round. I wouldn't be surprised if they add another offensive line piece in the third round, but if their edge guy is there, you got to take him in the third round.
I'm always the guy that says defense still wins championships. So yes, the Bengals have a lot of holes and primarily offensive line, and they do need a receiver, but we can't forget about the defense. And I think a lot of times fans forget about defense because they like to see offense and high scoring and a lot of points. But when you look at the teams that win Super Bowls, it's a lot of times because they have a really good defense and they can stop the opponent in 3-4 possessions a game. That's why Tampa Bay won. It wasn't because of Tom Brady. It was because of their defensive line was wreaking havoc versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So defense, I know people don't like to hear it, but defense still wins championships. But you can say offense wins. I do think you should, a lot of people should focus a little bit more on the defensive side of the football because the Bengals, they have not had a lot of success in that area. They couldn't get after the quarterback. Their run defense is still poor. So yes, the offense needs to be addressed, especially the offensive line in that receiver spot. But don't forget about the defense. That's all I'll say.
The Bengals are telling you that. The Bengals are telling you defense wins championships through the way they've drafted their free agency in back-to-back years. Look, it's not showing on the field right now, but they're telling you, hey, we're going defensive line heavy. We're giving Lou all the guys.
That's what I was about to say. Come on, Tyler. The Bengals just spent about $7 billion on defense. Nobody's saying the Bengals are value defense. Also, the Bengals could still sign Josh Bynes to fill that role at linebacker. There are, I guess, easier to fill holes with the guys left in free agency still, I think, on defense than there are on offense. They could sign Josh Bynes. They need a fourth safety. You can find a guy who does that. Or they have Ricardo Allen, though, too. It depends on how they want to use him. Then really the defensive line is all that's left. If the Bengals have one or two guys in the draft, you're kind of running out of spots almost. I'd be more aggressive personally going offense heavy in the draft.
Well, with the NFL draft just a couple weeks away, we do have OTAs coming up. Players can do – it's kind of up in the air right now. Obviously, vaccines are out, and the Bengals could be taking the field virtually or at Paul Brown Stadium soon. A handful of teams have already said they are going to sit out OTAs. Again, they are voluntary. Minicamp starts in June. Then you have training camp in July. Last year, the NFL started the season on time. This year, they are adding an extra game. Do you think the Bengals are going to take part in the voluntary workouts? And what is that going to look like in Cincinnati?
Man, it's impossible to tell what it's going to look like. Let me read a portion of what the NFLPA sent to players regarding voluntary workouts. They just sent this memo this week. They said that a number of players recently tested positive at team facilities. COVID weekly positive rates are as high, if not higher, than at this point last season. And NFL players who contracted COVID last season can become infected again. So with that being said, and listening to what the NFLPA said, what the CDC has said, I don't think it is wise to have voluntary workouts right now. And if it were me, I would have all virtual, you know, OTAs and training sessions, and then training camp, bring the players in and have a normal as possible training camp. So, you know, I'm just looking at what the NFLPA says, and players that I've spoken to, a lot of them don't really want to have not a virtual offseason, but a voluntary offseason. So if I were in charge, I would say that they should do things virtual until training camp. And that's just because we're still in a pandemic, unfortunately. I know it's been over a year and people are ready to go outside. People are ready to get back to their normal life. But I'm just want to follow what the CDC says and what the NFLPA says as far as what football is concerned. It's probably best to have things virtual for right now. And then when training camp happens, have the players on the field.
So here's my question. This is a little tea leaf reading, I guess you could call it. So we're going full social media hunt right now. The Bengals tweeted out a video early today where it was a bunch of players, I guess, seeing the uniforms for the first time, and we didn't see the uniforms, but we saw their reaction. So I'm curious what's going on at Paul Brown Stadium. And I guess just an answer I don't have is the difference between different rehab stuff that can go on now versus what I guess would be more official in an OTA setting. So, you know, it's a fine line between that, I understand. But I guess people are around now, it looks like, from what that video showed. We already knew guys like Joe Burrow were working out as he recovers from a major injury. But I guess some more guys are around as well. I don't have all the information there. But that video perked up my ears a little bit because people are in Cincinnati, I guess.
Yeah, so players can be at team facilities right now, especially players that are injured. So that's why you saw Joe Burrow, DJ Reader. Now, I do know some of those players recently flew in for the uniform reveal, so they won't be staying in Cincinnati for a long time. They'll probably fly back to wherever they're staying. And then there's still some uncertainty about voluntary workouts. Voluntary workouts are supposed to start as early as next week. So if those voluntary workouts are still going to happen, then obviously they'll be in Cincinnati if they want to attend. It's voluntary for a reason. So yes, to answer your question, Charlie, players across the league are at select players who want to be at their facilities can go work out, talk with coaches if they want to, and, you know, just start training on their own accord if they would like.
You know, Joe Burrow is in that video, so fans are watching maybe the 0.5 seconds he's in there of him walking just fine and breaking down that Joe Burrow's doing okay. Do we have any Joe Burrow updates, Tyler?
Oh, my goodness. I don't have a Joe Burrow update today, but I can reiterate that, yes, he is throwing. It's nothing, you know, too strenuous. This coming week, it will be his 20th week post-operation. So on Wednesday, it will be his 20th week post-operation. So that is a milestone that will mark 5 months. So that's pretty good. And at the 5 month mark, that's kind of the halfway point for Joe Burrow's type of knee injury. So maybe the Bengals will release a video. They haven't told me they'll release a video. They're still being, you know, really careful with how they release news on Joe Burrow. But I have been hearing from multiple people that he is still doing well and his recovery process is still on track. But there's still a long road ahead. And next week it will be his pretty much halfway point.
The only thing I have to say is it's been 5 months. Man, it feels like it's been like 3 months, 2 months. That was quick. That's all I
got. He had surgery December 2nd in Los Angeles.
All right, to be determined. As we mentioned, OTA is still up in the air. Minicamp around the corner. NFL draft just days away. Let's go ahead and get to the questions of the week.
Okay, questions of the week. So we know the uniform reveal is going to be Monday at 9 a.m. So my question to you two is related to that. I want you two to tell me your favorite NFL uniforms right now.
Oh, I'm ready. Mine's kind of bland and I'm not going out on, you know, too far or anything too creative, but I love the Colts white on white. That's my favorite one right now. That's not that exciting, but I love that. I love that okay. Look. It's sharp looking. I love it in Indy.
I mean, I guess the Chargers powder blue comes to mind. I'm all in on like different colors that you don't see too often. I guess except the Cleveland Browns brown, because those don't do anything for me. But like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniforms stand out. Anything that's really distinct, specifically with the color. But those will be the two I mentioned.
Okay. So I have two. I love the Chargers powder blues. And then I also like the 49ers. They're classic red and gold uniforms. I think those really look good. So those are my twos. Second question of the week. We know Lindsay is on vacation, top secret vacation. Now, she won't tell us where she is, but she did reveal she's at a beach. So my question to you two is, your favorite beach in the country?
I'll go first. I'm going to use this to tease a story that I ended up not getting to write. Eric Martin interviewed twice for UC's head coaching position. And just in case, I started working on an Eric Martin feature to run if he got the job. Eric Martin went to So Eric Martin played at UC in the 90s. Then he became an assistant coach for Bob Huggins. He's been at Western Virginia ever since and was a candidate for UC's open coaching job. So how he got to UC was in the 90s. He was at a community college in California. UC reached out to him and trying to recruit him. And they said, a couple of the players called him and said, hey man, you like the beach in California? We've got the best beaches out here in Cincinnati. Come to Cincinnati, we'll take you to the beach and you'll have the best time ever, man. And so everyone goes, oh, I love the beach. This is awesome. So of course he obviously wanted to play for Bob Huggins, ends up transferring to Cincinnati. But the Cincinnati beach, man, he was like, where's the beach? And they said, oh, we meant the beach water park out by Kings Island. So they got him in the door. You got to do what you got to do. I didn't get to write that story, obviously, because Eric Martin didn't get the UC job, but I'm happy I got to share that. So in honor of that story, my answer is the Cincinnati Beach Water Park.
Oh, my goodness, Charlie. Okay, that was a great story, though. That was a great story.
I'm a little bummed you didn't get that one out. I do like that story. When it comes to the beach for me, I'm one of those people where I love the ocean. I'm an ocean over pool girl every day of the week. I want to see what I'm walking into. I think you can look at the Pacific, the Atlantic, and you don't really know sometimes what's in there. So I'll go to the Gulf, you know, the Destin area, that side of Florida, Gulf of Mexico. I like to see the clear blue water and know what I'm about to walk into.
Okay. So we're getting a clue where Lindsay
could I'm not there. Be I'm, at. Not, I'm not there right now. I'm not at Destin. That's a family vacation we do every year, and I'm not there right now. Maybe in a couple months I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Well, if I had to choose, it would definitely be South Beach, Miami. That atmosphere is great. And also Malibu and Venice. So I picked three. Those are my favorite three beaches.
Sounds fancy. I like it.
I mean, it's nothing on Cincinnati, but
the Ohio River.
That will conclude my questions of the week, unless you two have questions.
No, I'm good right now. I'm good. Okay. And Argyle Charlie, man, just, you know, the dude is everywhere. You got Bearcats coverage. You got Reds coverage. You got little Bengals, a little bit of everything. This guy is covering it all right now. So, Charlie, I'm sure you have plenty on Cincinnati.com. What's up there right now?
I do. I'll start with the Reds. They're back home this weekend of everything going on with the rotation, with Sonny Gray coming back. Bengals, I have my draft guide that I've been teasing coming out next week, looking at all the day two prospects on the offensive line and wide receiver, going past the Chase for Sewell conversation, looking at the next important move the Bengals could make. And then UC, man. So I did write a feature on their new head coach, Wes Miller. I talked to Willer's mother, a bunch of his former players, just about how Wes became this incredibly successful, extremely young head coach. And then this morning I talked to Hall of Famer Roy Williams, who was Wes Miller's mentor. I helped get him, not helped get him a lot of opportunities, but was along the way giving him advice as he got a lot of opportunities. Roy Williams talked to John Cunningham on Tuesday, and Roy Williams shared with me why Wes Miller will be successful at UC.
Tyler, as we get ready for the NFL draft, what is up there from you?
So I have a 7-round Cincinnati Bengals mock draft online right now. Check that out. I also have a story on Bengals tight end Drew Sample, what he's off to this off season and how he feels going into his third NFL season. And a lot of fans are going to like this. I have a story coming up on Anthony Munoz and Ken Anderson and their thoughts on who the Bengals should draft at the number 5 pick. I would give you a hint, but that will spoil the story.
I feel like I know where they're going to go. Charlie, myself, and Sam, we will be at Paul Brown Stadium on Monday. Everything Cincinnati Bengals 2021 uniforms and more. And I will have some fun NFL draft guests leading up to draft night coming up over on Cincinnati.com. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.